Proverbs 30 and then Luke 11. Kind of a continuation from last week. Brag about the book, brag about the Lord. When you're bragging about the book, you're bragging about the Lord. So that's a good thing. Proverbs 30, verse 5. And then Luke 11, verse 27, and other places. Okay, Proverbs 30, verse 4. If you just kind of skim down through those questions, you'll see it's something to do with the creation of God. Okay, we'll see that. And then verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Here the word as a body, a book, is referred to in a masculine, but in Proverbs 8 it's referred to as a feminine. So every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words. So the word of God has words in it. Lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Okay, then let's try the Luke 11. Jesus said in Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We see the Montells got up late this morning. Better late than never. Luke 11, 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. So you can see that's probably a forerunner of a Catholic lady that's trying to honor his mother. Okay, and notice he doesn't overreact like a lot of us do. He just says, in verse 20, he said, she's blessed. Yeah. Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So, yeah, he didn't overreact as we often do, but then he said, here, you want to get on the same footing? Hear this and keep it. And he didn't say obey it. He said keep it. There's a little different wording there. So if you would, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these words. Help us to draw close to thee as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Luke 11, this lady's trying to, or exalting his mother. He didn't overreact. And he says, if you want to get on that same footing, hear the word of God and keep it. So we should start a program up on 41 where they had the great big Mary statue. I'm going to put mine up there. Put yours up there. Why? Because we're equal, right? no thanks. Somebody probably take a paintball gun and probably shoot mine. And so, he's telling us the importance of the Word of God. Okay, that phrase, we read it in Proverbs. We read it in Luke 11. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There it is again. That phrase found 49 times in the Bible. And so that's taking all of the completed revelation of God up until that time. Proverbs chapter 30 would probably be much of the Old Testament, but maybe just specifically the Pentateuch. Okay, and then when Jesus brings it up in Luke 4, he's referring to the entire Old Testament revelation. And so now we have a complete revelation of the Word of God. Maybe the Lord's going to add some more to it in a millennium. I have no idea. But for this time, we got these 66 books, and it's the most amazing book that's ever been assembled, ever been put together. If you just look at it as far as literature, Harvard actually had somebody write a little piece about the King James Bible as far as its literature, and this writer said that Hebrew, Greek, and English are the languages that are picturesque, where they use word pictures. Isn't it funny how God chose English? And he said that the King James mirrors the originals. Now, I don't know how they know that, but still, it's quite a... That's out of Harvard. Now, once in a while, they get something right over there. Harvard originally was designed... Do you know what Harvard and Princeton and Yale originally began as? Schools for preachers. Bible-believing preachers. That's what it originally was. Boy, they sure have fallen away from that. Okay, but the Bible, again, as I mentioned last week, is the most hated or banned book ever written, yet it's the most loved and adored. It is the most quoted, yet it is also the most misquoted, a maligned book ever written by anybody. And a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. But you know, personally, I think it's better to have unanswered questions than to have unquestioned answers. When people have statements and they don't want you to question, I would rather live my life with some answers I cannot question rather than to be forced to accept statements or answers that are not to be questioned. That's what I would rather do. Okay, and as I mentioned last week, the misinformation and disinformation create preconceived ideas that cause people to stay away from the Bible, yet they got to read it for yourself. Don't allow other people to deter you from something that might be a great benefit in your life. If you would look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Here's what a lot of the methods a lot of people use toward the Bible, and the Apostle Peter wrote about it. He warned us about it. He said this. He was encouraging somebody, or Peter was encouraging the readers. He said, you need to look at what Paul wrote in verse 15, 2 Peter 3, 15. As our beloved brother Paul. Look what that guy did. And then he said also in verse 16, as also in all his epistles. Okay, so what we have of his epistles that God placed in the Bible, the scriptures, is Romans to Philemon that he addressed to the bride of Christ or the church of God or whatnot. Hebrews is addressed to Hebrews. And then he says, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. Is that not true? Paul did write about some things that are hard to understand. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, they wrestle with, they rest. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Several years ago down at Rensselaer, there's a pastor of a Iroquois Valley Christian Church, and he had heard about me, he heard about the King James issue, so he wanted to talk to me. So we talked for 3 hours, and I tape recorded it. I handled him with it like a kindergarten kid, you know, basically, real gentle, real patient with him. And I'd throw a scripture out, and he'd say, well, I wrestle with that. And then I'd throw another, well, I wrestle with that. And I'd throw another, I wrestle with that. I said, man, you do a lot of wrestling. And then I pointed out 2 Timothy 3:16. I said, is that your kind of wrestling? Well, I hope not. I'm here to tell you it was. Dealt with that man a second time for 2 hours. And he said, I don't care what you say. I'm sticking with my NIV. I said, I figured you'd do that. And then he wanted to start arguing about it. I said, hey, there's no room for argument. I said, I'm not going to play the game. You're your own final authority. Later, Gator. And I was out of there. No waste of time. Why, who makes the rules up is going to win the game. Okay, and now there's a church hierarchy, or when a church hierarchy or a religious teacher discourages people from personally reading the Bible, man, I don't trust them. And I don't think you should trust them. Why? They don't want their answers to go unquestioned. Now, as I mentioned last week, the master plan of God is an amazing thing. God, in this day, has limited his words to written revelation, and anybody knows that written when you see written words, text, or things like that, you don't see or hear the fluctuation of the voice. You don't see the impressions of the face when the words are expressed. And it's easy to misunderstand written words because the reader is the person who's going to decide what they mean without the speaker being available. If the speaker is, or the reader or the listener is honest, they will, if there's a misunderstanding or they think they took it the wrong way, they will go to the source and ask them for further instruction. Dishonest people will run off and say, so-and-so said this. And then people that listen to them will say, whoa, I can't believe you said that. Well, you dingling, you need to go ask him yourself. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Okay, and the thing is this is a common thing, and that's a foolish thing. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That means there's, you know, we always hear the statement, and I've heard it like time and time again, there's always two sides to every story or two sides to every coin. I like Kelly's version of that. There's three sides to every coin. And there really are. Heads, tails, the edge. And the truth is often in that edge portion. You see? And so, and that's what God has chosen to do. He has chosen to limit his written revelation, and that is a masterful plan because that's how he finds sincere people. It's an amazing plan, what God has done. I just want to give you a couple other thoughts on this idea about that. Now, God warned in this book of the opposition to his words. Now, God warns about the opposition not because he's insecure. Okay, any coach, right? Any good coach has to tell his players, there's the opposition. And all week long, whoever is playing football today, all last week, they studied film of the opposition. Why? Were they insecure? No, they're trying to figure out how to beat them. So God has warned us on multiple occasions in this Bible, okay, here's what you're going to see about the opposition. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 23:36, he said, they have perverted the words of the living God. And he said that about 600 BC. Back in those days, somebody was perverting the words of the living God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the words of God. So Paul said there's a bunch of them corrupting the words of God. Now he said that about, maybe about 70 AD. So one in the Old Testament said there are people perverting it, and there's people in the New Testament said they're corrupting it. And it's funny, that verse has changed in every new Bible. Why? Because the reviser corrupted the words of God and then sold it off as a Bible. Put holy in a cover of it, and it's no more holy as is as a monkey on Mars. Okay, and so the Lord warned us about these things. And the amazing thing about God will warn us about things, and you know what people do? They step right into the trap, and it's not even camouflaged. And they think that they're very unique and original. Okay, if you would look in Isaiah 29, verse 11 and 12. Isaiah warned about the two basic excuses why people do not read the Bible personally. They fail to consider the words of God. Now, a lot of people will read them. There's a fellow who was out, when I first started going street preaching in Colorado Springs, there's on Acacia Park, there's a park where a lot of drugs were sold. I met this guy, he's a Jew. And he said he saw the devil. He described him to me. Yeah, okay. And then he told me how much he read the Bible. I said, well, praise the Lord, you read the Bible. And so I started throwing some books out for him to see what he read. I said, Isaiah, you like that one? He said, oh, yeah, Isaiah. Yeah, good. I said, how about that Hezekiah? He said, oh, yeah, I like that one. I said, yeah, that's good. How about that book of Jerusalem? I said, you like that one? He said, yeah, that's one of the better ones. I mean, he didn't even get two out of three right. And, you know, he's talking about where the devil sat next to him. He's on the bus. And I didn't know the devil needed a ride to Metro or something like that. But he described the devil to me. And all that stuff. And I thought, what a case, what a thing. But Isaiah 29, verse 11, gives the two basic excuses why people don't read the Bible. Okay, Isaiah 29, verse 11 and 12, two. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to him that is learned. Okay, he's got some edumacation, formal training. He is sat in a desk 180 days out of the year, if that whatever that's required, sitting at a desk. So he's learned. Say, okay, here, read this book. And he's going to make this excuse. He says, read this, I pray thee. And the learned man says, I cannot, for it's sealed. What an excuse. Break the seal, stupid. It's figurative. It speaks in allegories. It's just got many interpretations. Well, why don't you throw in yours? You see, broad-minded, multiple, mystical, religious. Well, still, you ought to at least give it a shot. At least look at it. Start reading through it. Well, a guy that hadn't been in school, verse 12, the book that is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Well, I'm happy for you. Will Rogers said, everyone is ignorant, only on different subjects. Is that not true? Yeah, that's good. And the reason why both of these people, both of these excuses come from people who are unwilling to find out for themselves. And Jesus Christ said, if a man is willing, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be of myself, in that context, whether it be of men. So it's a matter of looking at it personally. Those are two basic excuses. I have not heard any other excuses than that when I talk to people. I had a guy sitting in jail, Rensselaer Jail. I mean, there was nothing to do in a Rensselaer Jail. And I told him, you ought to check out the Bible. You ought to read the Bible. And then the week later, I came back and said, did you read the Bible? He said, I didn't have time. I just looked at him, smiled. I said, think about that for a little bit, okay? Think about that. Didn't have time. Okay. Now, there are other people that warned about the Bible. Okay? And that's the men that God used to put this translation together, the King James translators. So I'm going to look at what they said. Now, most of the King James Bibles today do not put in the two-page dedicatory in the front on purpose. Now, I have put it in here, so I'm going to read an extra canonical thing. And these are the men that God used. And if you got it in the front, it's epistle dedicatory. It'd be the second page. It's the second to the last paragraph. And right in there, they make this statement. So that if on one side we shall be traduced. Now, we in this age, you got to get a dictionary. What's that mean? Traduced, maligned. Traduced by popish persons at home and abroad. Whoa, there's one crowd. And the first vicar of Christ, the Apostle Peter, the first pope, said that the scriptures are not of any private interpretation. Isn't that? God is amazing. When people mess with the book, God messes with their brain. Can you imagine to put the Apostle Peter to be the first pope of the Catholic Church, and then he turned around and said, we can't interpret the Bible. What a thing. But yet they got about a billion people that's going to the priest and the cardinal and the rabbi and the blue jay and all that stuff and trying to get an interpretation of the Bible. And the first vicar of Christ said, we can't interpret the Bible. Who's the interpreter of the Bible? The author. The Holy Ghost. So they warned about popish persons. And then there's another group they warned about. He says, who therefore will malign us because we are poor instruments to make God's holy truth to be yet more and more known unto the people whom they desire still to keep in ignorance and darkness. That's right. Or if on the other side, so here's the second group, who shall malign by self-conceited brethren who run their own ways and give liking unto nothing but what is framed by themselves and hammered on their own anvil. And I call those Greeka friars. The one are Catholic friars, these are Greeka friars. Well, they're going to run to Greek, Hebrew, try to change to English, and all of them, those men have one thing in common. May have other things, but one specific thing is they don't believe God preserved his word for today. I was talking to one of these guys one time, and he's a new King Jimmy guy, and we talked to him for a while, and I said, you know one thing I appreciate about you? And he said, what's that? I said, you're honest about your dishonesty. And I just threw that out there just to kind of tweak him. And I said, let me ask you this question. If you were a king on an island and you inspired laws, would you use your power to preserve those laws from change if you didn't want them laws changed? He said, of course. I said, why do you think you're smarter than God?
What do you mean?
God inspired a book and he preserved it because of his power and it's without error. You just said if you were a king in an island and you inspired laws, you would preserve them without error. And you don't believe God did that because you think you're smarter than God. In conversation kind of got a little bit done at that time. And I said it very nicely to him, very kindly. But that's a fact. God has preserved his words without error for today. Why? Because he wants to. But he also allows fake things being counterfeiting his words. Why does God allow that? That's to check us out to see how sincere we are. He allows that too. Perfect plan. What a masterful plan. It's an amazing plan. He's weeding through and he's trying to figure out who's going to weed through with me. The word, the phrase, the word of God is found four times in the Old Testament. We read one of them, eight times in the Gospels. Okay, Jesus mentioned it twice. We read two of those. 13 times in the book of Acts. 12 times by Paul in his epistles. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's one of them. The other one is 2 Corinthians. Another one is where he said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And then 12 times it's used in the prophetic epistles, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then in Revelation, 12 times in all those prophetic books. So, and in Hebrews 4, it says this, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it says in the next verse, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can a book do that? You see, every book that you and I read, we pick up and read it, we're reading the book. But this book is reading you at the same time. It's reading and discerning. That's the subject of the sentence. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper, and that sentence, a compound sentence, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why people don't read it personally. Because that book's reading it. It's like it's looking back at you. And what's looking back at us is the eyes of Jesus Christ. It's the mind of Christ. And those eyes are looking into our heart. And when he sees in our heart sincerity and honesty and meekness, then he's going to start opening up. He's going to shed some light on this book. And our mind is going to be enlightened. We're going to get some understanding. That's what the doctrine of the Bible calls inspiration. Okay, that's what he calls that, inspiration. Boy, it inspires me. I understand. I get excited because I understand it. You see? And so, but yet if those eyes are looking at a man's heart and he's trying to, and he saw that that person added a word to make the Bible say what he said, wanted to say, or subtracted a word, or changed a word, God has said, hey, why don't you change this one too? I mean, if you're in a change in mood, change this one here. Oh, why don't you throw in this one and change that one? You say God gets involved in a deception? Exactly. He does. When he looked at that heart, he checks that heart out. And that's what the Lord does. And what the Lord did to the men of his day, the religious leaders of his day, when they threw out something, you know what he would say to them? One of his favorite questions. Have you not read? I mean, to say that to an educated guy, haven't you read this? Haven't you read that? That's like smacking them in the face. And the Lord did that over and over and over again. So the Lord warns us about the opposition. It's our responsibility to be alert to the opposition. Just like a coach will tell his players all week long, this guy does this, he's got a tendency of that, he's going to do this. He's not insecure. He's trying to coach his team to overcome the opposition, and God is trying to coach us to overcome our opposition. If you would look in Daniel chapter 10, this is the very first time the word scripture is found in the Bible. Very first time. I'll show you how powerful this book is, even though it's just sitting there. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Very first time the word scripture is found in the Bible. Daniel has this strange dream, a vision, a weird vision, strange thing. And this angel, Gabriel, is going to explain some of this vision he had to them. And here's what he says in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Now notice the prepositional phrase after the word scripture. That's how the Bible defines itself. Scripture, truth. Scripture, truth. Scripture is written, truth. Okay, so scripture, but drop the last three letters of scripture. Script. The Bible is a script for life. Okay? My wife has written several scripts for plays. And what is that script for? That's the plot of the play, a movie, a novel. Okay, Hollywood don't have original thoughts. Many of the movies that people watch will have this basic plot. Hero, villain, woman they're fighting over. Is that not how the movies go? Batman fought for Gotham City. There's the woman. Okay, so you got a hero, a villain, and a city or a woman they're fighting over. And you read that novel. Hey, man, it looks bad for the hero. Looks like the villain's going to win. Oh, it looks terrible. Watch that movie. All these effects they got in there. Oh, no, the hero is going to lose. He's going to lose the fair maiden. By the time you get to the end, oh, it's got to have a good build-up. Man, we like them big special effects at the end. Got to have a good... I mean, you got to prop up that villain so when the hero comes in, pop, he takes him out just like that. What do we got in our Bible? We got a hero. We got a villain. In the Old Testament, it was the hero is God, Jehovah, and the villain is Satan, and the woman they're fighting over is Israel. In the New Testament, what do we got there? We've got the hero, Jesus Christ, and we got the villain, Lucifer, Satan, and we got a woman they're fighting over, and that's the bride of Christ, the church. And when you read through Revelation, oh man, the hero is in trouble. The villain is conquering the known world. Everybody is listening to the villain. The villain has deceived everybody. Man, you got a big special effects building up at the end, and here comes that hero on a white horse. Oh boy, is that racist? I don't know. He's riding that white horse. He comes in there, and he's got that white hat. And he is going to, boom, blow up the villain off the planet. Throw him into prison. And he's going to marry that fair maiden. Where did they get that idea from? I read the book. It's in the script. That's what the author wrote. And you were not going to change a bit of that script. And if you don't comply with the director of that script, he just might take you out of the script. Okay? And I tell you, we hear this everywhere we go. People talk Bible. Doesn't matter if they're raised in a church. Doesn't matter if they're Lutheran or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't matter. I hear Bible everywhere I go. I hear people talking it. And it's called common sayings. That's how powerful this book is. This book is so powerful that it gets into the psyche of people without them knowing it. And if you pay attention to them, now I've got a list of about 1,000 common sayings dispersed throughout this Bible. In the center margin, italicized. But we'll hear them. Boy, he painted the town red. You ever hear that one? That's the Passover. You see? Jumping a lake. Oh, that's something that's being thrown into hot water. I mean, we hear these things. And when people say these things, that is an opportunity to do one of two things. You can adore your God because of his power, or you can use it as a witnessing opportunity. Well, I didn't know you were a Christian. I mean, he's got the tackle box in his face, and they said something, oh, I'm going to burn the midnight oil. Well, where'd you come up with that idea? Well, I just thought that was a pretty neat saying. Yeah, that's in the Bible. Did you know that? Well, I didn't know that. Well, money talks. Well, that's in the Bible, too, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 19. Well, this little birdie told me that. Well, that's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Everywhere we go, man, he's out of the frying pan and into the fire. Well, that's what's going to happen at the White Throne Judgment. Exactly what's going to happen. Man, that guy was a snake in the grass. Yeah, I read about him back in Genesis 3. Now, you don't want to be late. Don't miss the boat. Yeah, Noah said that for about 100 years. You know, but them people didn't have the sense to come in out of the rain. He made that snake bite the dust. Boy, he bit the dust. I've heard guys that say this in softball. When a batter hits the ball over the outfield, oh, he burned him. He burned him. Yeah, that's in the Bible. They said about them Midianites, they were toast to us. Well, they're going to burn them. You find these common sayings everywhere. I got a short list of them here. Just run through some of these. And I mean, there's everywhere you go. Man, oh man, till the cows come home. That's Exodus chapter about 9, 8 or 9, when the cows had the plagues of Egypt. All laid out there. Man, he got lead in his britches. Yeah, when the Pharaoh and them came through the Red Sea, it says they sank as lead. Why? Because they had lead in their britches. You see? And we'll find them everywhere. Well, man, that's a horse laugh. Oh, that's Job 38, 39. Man, he born to be wild. Well, that's Job chapter 11, verse 12. You see that? So I saw that tattooed on a Pentecostal kid's arm right there. Born to be wild. So I told him he had a Bible verse on his arm. We explained that for a little bit. Man, don't get discouraged. Don't want to be down in the mouth. That's Jonah. Down in the mouth, first submarine sandwich. I mean, he got down in the dumps in chapter 4. You know, and that's how that goes, you know. And well, that's just a drop in a bucket. Well, that's Isaiah chapter 40. That's how God describes all of the nations of the world. Take a 5-gallon bucket, put one drop in it. That's all of the nations of the world compared to the power of God Almighty. Whew, that's different, isn't it? You see, how about, boy, he was out on a limb. I think Shirley MacLaine had one. She was out on a limb. That New Agey woman titled her movie, Out on the Limb? Yeah, that would have been Absalom when he had a hair-raising experience. And he was hanging out on a limb, and somebody gave him the point. Boom, they darted him, killed him. You know, Samson had a bone to pick with them Philistines. Picked up a bone and poof, killed about 1,000 of them. You'll find that all through the Bible. Everywhere you go in this Bible, got a frog in my throat. That's Revelation chapter 16 where the Antichrist has an unclean spirit like a frog in his throat. Find them everywhere. Red light district. Man, you don't want to go to the red light district. Why? Because that's Rahab the harlot. What she let down? A red cord. And that's the scarlet sin. You can find that in Hollywood. Hollywood don't have a unique bone in their body. They're stealing these things from the Bible itself. Man, he's a big wheel. You ever hear that one? You'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 1 because that's a description of God. You know, and boy, did she nail him. Oh, did that Sisera, he got nailed by that Jael. She took a tent stake, whack, nailed him to the ground. I mean, don't beat around the bush because that's what Moses did for a while and the Lord kind of got mad at him. And boy, I'm bush, he got burned out. You know, dog eat dog. Beware of dog. Did you know that's a Bible verse in Philippians chapter 3? In fact, people that have a beware of dog side, they should put Philippians chapter 3, verse A. Put that on there. And when you hear these statements straight from the horse's mouth, and you don't want to be stubborn like a mule, I think Balaam learned about that because he was between a rock and a hard place. It's all over through this book. All through this book. And when you start reading some of these, you know, old Esau told Jacob, don't spill the beans, but you know, I don't think my birthright's worth a hill of beans. And then God took it from him. You see, and when you hear these things, man, what are you, shut the door, were you born in a barn? No, but my Savior was. He's born in a manger. See, and what you're doing is you're, people are saying, I listen to sports contests. Boy, that guy got a, that quarterback got a baptism of fire. Where do you get that from? Well, that about winds it up. We're at the end of the program, folks. That about winds it up. That's what happened in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira died, end of their life. And what did they do? They wound them up, put the grave clothes on them. I mean, it's all through the, don't rob Peter to pay Paul. That's the book of Acts. Peter's the main character. Paul's at the end. Peter's at the beginning. Paul's at the end. What'd God do? He robbed Peter to pay Paul. We say him all the time. Simon says, why do you got Simon at the pearly gates? Somebody's messing around with this book. And when you hear people say these common sayings, what do you got, bats in the belfry? Man, you're a bird brain. Bible. Statement about spirit. Somebody's infested with spirit. Joseph told his brothers, don't have a falling out. That's Genesis 49. All through this Bible. And what this book does, it influences the script of life. And when you hear these things, bring it up. What time is it? Well, it's time to get saved. Are you ready to get saved? Guys in jail, quit asking me what time it was when I kept responding that way. You see? And so, common sayings. And the third thing I want to show you is the Bible is the standard. The King James Bible is the standard. Every new Bible that comes off the market will compare itself to the King James. Why? It's the standard. The standard in any sport will be the champion of the previous year. So every team in the next season, they get up to beat the champ. Why? They're the standard. So the King James Bible is the standard. A standard is something that's used to measure something. Okay, a horizontal standard in construction is a water level. That's a horizontal standard. A vertical standard is a plumb bob. I had to use a plumb bob. I used both of those on a log house. So a plumb bob is what the Bible refers to. Okay, and a plumb bob, when you got a windy day, you got to compensate for the wind. So where the plumb bob is supposed to be, you take a 5-gallon bucket, put some water in it, and the plumb bob, the weight at the bottom's in the water, and the wind will not be able to push the plumb bob. So that way you get a vertical reading. The Bible is the standard. It is the most influential book ever written. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, do you know why entropy hasn't completed its course yet? Because God hasn't said boom yet. Scientists say it began with a big bang. Well, what exploded? We don't know. So nothing exploded and became something. Please demonstrate that in the laboratory. So, no, the Bible says it's going to have a big bang at the end. Man says the bang's at the beginning, and I find it interesting. Why do they call a big bang? Why don't they use a scientific term, Maximus Bangus, or something like that? I don't know why they say that. Big Bang's not at the front, it's at the end. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the world is upheld by the word of his power. God instituted the law of entropy as a result of man's sin. Entropy. It is less energy in a closed system. Your clock runs down. Your car's wearing out. If I was a consistent evolutionist, I'd buy my car at a junkyard. It's going to evolve into a Lamborghini someday. Maybe a Goldwing. You say they're not consistent. They complain that we Christians are hypocrites. Every single evolutionist is a hypocrite. All of them. Yeah, I'll take the charge we Christians are hypocrites. But every one of you are. Why don't you brag about Hitler? Because survival of the fittest, did he not survive? I mean, you're going to brag about Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini and all that? No, you're a hypocrite. Now, the Bible is a standard. Now, how do you know the Bible is a standard? Is archaic words. What's an archaic word? Words that they say are not used anymore. This is a common complaint against the King James Bible. That's an archaic word. We don't use that word anymore. So the new Bibles have updated giants. We don't use that word anymore. To Nephilim. That's real understandable, isn't it? Giants to Nephilim. The San Francisco Nephilims, I think, are playing a game today. New York Nephilims are playing some other football team. You know, that really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, instead of north-south in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham didn't travel south. He traveled to give. So it's north to give, east and west, if you didn't know that. That's what the new Bibles have done. These are words that you find in the King James Bible. You will not find in any new Bible. This shows the power of this book. Archaic words. Out-of-date words. Nobody uses the word mart anymore for a place of commerce, do they? Nobody uses that. Isaiah 23, verse 2, talks about this place as a mart of nations. Nobody goes to Walmart and Kmart and Mini-Mart and Gas Mart and Food Mart anymore. I mean, that is so archaic. Nobody uses that anymore. And you go to the bank and you have a teller. Oh, that teller. Nobody uses that word anymore. What's a teller do? He told Abraham, go tell the stars. What are you saying to Abraham? Oh, you need to update that and count the stars. Yeah, but the teller counts fake money, doesn't he? Or she? Archaic words. Here's a whole list of them. You go to the airport, you have a concourse. What is a concourse? King James only word. Back in the 60s, there's a sitcom called Bewitched. Archaic, out of date, nobody uses that anymore. And later on, there's a movie called The Exorcist. Oh, nobody uses Exorcist anymore. But you find it in this book. And people go to these conferences. Oh, conference? Are you serious? Conference? Nobody uses that word anymore. And you get on your search engine. Engine? Oh, no, that's only found in the King James. You don't use engines anymore. Nobody uses that. You know, and you put your letters in a post office. In Ezekiel chapter, in Esther chapter 3, they sent their letters by post. I thought a post was standing still and wouldn't go anywhere. Yeah, but they send letters by post. And you certainly, if you want to get out of high school and go to college, you know, oh, nobody uses that word. You need to update that to the newer versions. College. That's an archaic word. That all them King James translators, they didn't know what they were talking about when they wrote college down in there. I mean, you're going to put your clothes in a closet? Nobody uses that anymore. That's so out of date. Them King James translators were so messed up that they didn't know that it's a bushel of corn. Bushel is another archaic word. Or a tackle box or my stuff. Nobody uses stuff anymore, right? And you don't eat your victuals. I mean, come on. These are King James only words that you only find in this book because this book is the standard of everywhere you go. It's a standard, especially in Oh man, the CIA, you know, intelligence agency, only found one time in the Bible. Intelligence agencies, Daniel chapter 11, associated with the Antichrist. You know, I mean, that, and man, you don't want to go to a softball league, get a part of a league. Come on, that's King James only word. Those are so out of date. Nobody uses those words anymore. And if you're in the military, you might go on leave. Again, another one of those. But if somebody does something good, you want to congratulate them. King James only word. Nobody uses those. But yet, you turn on the news and watch the forecast. People have been watching the forecast about the hurricane or the hurricane or whatever is coming. Forecast, that's King James only word. I mean, you want to go to the county fair? Can't do it now. Got to change the wording. Got to get it more up to date, more modern, you know, as far. And you certainly, around Halloween, you don't want to go to a haunted house because, you know, that's kind of out of date. You know, that's getting back into 1600s, you know, and all that stuff. These are King, and if it, something smells bad, it don't stink because that's King James only. We don't want to say it stinks. It's it bothers my nose or something like that. I don't know what we're going to use. We don't want to use them simple words like a suburb. Don't want to use it. Or a passenger. You have a passenger? No, you don't have a passenger anymore in your car because that's so out of date. Man, that's somebody that wrote about that in the 1600s. And certainly you don't want to look at advertisements. Another one of them special, unique. You know, this book's the standard. They're not going to get away from this standard. Facebook, you know, the people out in California. You know, and, you know, Google, they're not getting away from this book. Google, they've got, amazingly, in a Google search engine, it's got a symbol where it's three sixes that come around this way. Where did they come up with that idea? And people out there should be enlightened. They should know that that six number of them, three sixes, man, that's 2,000 years ago. Why are you going back that those days for? Because that book's the standard. That book right there is the standard, and it's going to tell the devil what to do. And it's going to tell the world what's going to happen. The problem is, when people don't read it, they don't understand it. If you go to China, and if you look at their languages, my nephew can read, write, speak Chinese. Their language is not an alphabet like ours, not simplified like ours. It's a series of pictures. And when they put one picture and another picture, and when they put this is a word, but when you put them together, it's another word. And in the Chinese language, they have words that tell about Jesus Christ, but they don't know any Bible. Their word for righteousness in the Chinese language is one word for an individual, the other word is sheep. When you put sheep above the individual like this, it becomes righteousness. Do not we put the Lamb of God above us and we get God's righteousness? They don't see it. Why? They take the word for flood. It's one word for the number eight. It's another word for an individual. And it's another word for boat. And they put all three of those together and the word becomes flood. Where do you get that from? They got it from a Bible. But when they don't know the Bible, it goes over their head. You see, and that's why we got to get in this book and read it and listen to people talk. And we're going to hear, oh man, you just said something from the Bible. I didn't know you were a Christian. What are you talking about? And then tell them about the Bible and then lead that into Jesus Christ. I mean, they don't. You know, a lot of times we pray for open doors, but sometimes people kick the door wide open for you. And just listen to their words. This book is the standard. How you know this book is true? Look at the enemies. Look at the enemies this book has. This book is the script. This book is the standard. And God Almighty wants us to read it every single day. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us. Like, if by chance, if somebody is not born again, that they would read the Bible, like the Ethiopian eunuch. and they might see that Jesus Christ is the Savior. They might trust in Him, like in that Chinese word. How do we get righteousness? Well, we put the Lamb of God above us individually, and we get God's righteousness. Wow, what a deal. What an amazing thing. Lord, I pray You'd help us admire, adore, be in awe of the book that You've given us in this day in English. Thank You. Thank You for that. And by chance, if someone's not saved, that they would desperately see their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank You for that. We praise You for that. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed.